Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Love Strategy. I'm Nina Atwood, and my purpose is to take you on an inspiring journey of self-discovery and relationship recovery. I'm the host of the show, but this is really all about you, and it's for you, the single woman who wants to date smart and find the love of her life. On this show, casual sex is dumb, being choosy is smart, and the prize is a great marriage for life. So please listen, call in, and share your dating and relationship stories. Ask the questions that keep you awake at night and get coaching. The number to call in is 347-308-8511. That's 347-308-8511. Now, stay tuned for Love Strategy.
Well, welcome, everybody. This is Nina Atwood. I'm your host. I'm live this time. And yes, you are listening to Love Strategy. This is the show where we really attempt to make sense out of all the myths and various things that go around about dating and relationships, a lot of which are just not true, a lot of which are very confusing. And what we try to do is straighten out the confusion and get you back to the basics of dating and relationships that will get you the success that you are seeking in your life. And I know that if you are like me and if you are like millions of other people out there, what you really most want out of dating is a great relationship. So that's what we're all about here on Love Strategy. So I'm really glad you're listening. I hope you'll come back to the show again and again, because this is really about constant reinforcement of what works, as opposed to all the incredible amounts of reinforcement out there for what does not work. And you'll find as you listen to this show and listen to what I have to share with you, that one of the things that I will talk about a lot and that I do talk about is the unbelievable amount of information in the media that's really highly inaccurate about relationships and about what it takes to have a great relationship. You know, because if you're taking your cues from most of the television and movies that we have today about relationships, well, you're not getting very good strategies out of that. So this is about getting the kind of strategies that actually do work when it comes to dating and choosing the people that you want to become involved with in life. If you haven't noticed, then I'll point it out to you, and I want you to think back in your life about every relationship that you've ever had and how it began. And if you go back to the beginnings, to the genesis of each and every one of your relationships, you may recall that it all began simply by meeting someone new. That's right. You met someone new, and at some point you spent some kind of one-on-one time with that person. Let's call it a date. People don't always start relationships with dates, unfortunately. I think starting with dates is much better. But sometimes people start with hanging out or whatever it is, that somehow or another you spent some one-on-one time with that person, and then that inevitably led to another evening that you spent with the person, another day that you spent with the person, or whatever the experience was that you had. But it always starts with one encounter, and that one encounter can lead to attachment. And once you become attached to someone, that leads to a relationship. And now you're marching down the road, but what kind of road you're going down is not always the kind of road that you thought you would be going down in your life when you were starting that relationship. So what I want you to do, and why I am here and why I do Love Strategies, is to have you think, to stop and think about the choices that you are making from the very beginning in a relationship, and to start think about how those choices really do need to line up with what it is that you ultimately value in your life, not just with what feels good in the moment. Because let's face it, sometimes dates feel really great in the moment, but they are not leading us to great relationships. So that's why we're here. Now, this show, Internet Dating for the Savvy Single, Part 2, is a follow-up to the last show that I did, which was Internet Dating Part 1. And if you haven't listened to that, I really suggest that you go and download it and listen to it, because you're going to find that there's a lot of great information there that helps you understand what it is that I'll be talking about tonight. So I'm going to continue that discussion around how to use online dating. It's a very powerful tool to use. It can really work in your favor, and it can accomplish a lot for you in your life in a short period of time. But it's also very risky. If it is not used well and not used properly, it can actually turn out to be more of a liability than it is an asset. And so tonight I'm going to be continuing that discussion with you about how to use online dating in a way so that it becomes an asset in your life, so that it's a very powerful tool for you, helps you accomplish your goals, helps you move more quickly toward that relationship that you have always dreamed about with someone who is not only fun to be with when you date them, but someone who's actually good for you in your life in the long run. So if you have ever used online dating and you did not get the results you wanted, please call. Share your story. Tell us what it is that happened. Give me an opportunity to coach you. I'll help you find a way to correct whatever it is that you are doing so you will get better results. If you have used online dating and you met the love of your life, well, you're probably not listening to this show. But if you are, just on the off chance that you are, and that is you, call in and share your story. Those who have used it or not used it well would love to hear how it worked out for you. And I want to hear from you because whether you had a good or a bad outcome, there are plenty of lessons that we can all learn from those experiences. So do take a moment and call in. If you have experience using online dating, good or bad outcomes, doesn't matter. Just call in and share your experiences. And that number, again, is 347-308-8511 to call in, share your stories. Okay, I want to take a moment before I go further into online dating and talk a little bit about some things that were in the news this week. And, of course, the big story in relationships right now that's hitting all the media is about Sandra Bullock and her soon-to-be ex-husband, Jesse James. Now, if you're like me, then you probably picked up a People magazine this week and read the entire interview with Sandra. I did read the entire interview. And if you haven't read it, you really must, because it is an amazing example of a woman who is doing her best to rise above a very painful and horrible situation. This is a woman who made a bad choice. No question about it. She did marry a bad boy, Jesse James. This is a man who I would imagine in some regards, obviously in a lot of ways, he was the person that she thought he was, but in a lot of ways he really wasn't. And this was a man who was attracted to porn stars and that whole kind of countercultural world, kind of dangerous, fast-paced, very exciting life, which ultimately led to him cheating on her and having sexual relationships outside of their marriage. So, and she describes him and appears to still think of him as a very loving and caring and compassionate father and husband. And when she met him, that is all that she saw. Now, of course, she has a different picture of him. She has to include now in that picture this other issue of his, these behavioral issues that he has. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. But she, at the time that she dated him, all she saw was the portrait of a man that he presented to her. And so, of course, here was a guy who was probably just pinching himself every day, thinking, how in the world did I ever get a woman like Sandra Bullock to ever give me the time of day, let alone date me, go out with me, and become involved with me? And so, you know, I think he did probably what any man would do in that situation. He did his best to present himself as the kind of man that he felt like she would love. And it's not to say that there isn't some part of Jesse James that is loving and caring and isn't a good father, but clearly there was more to the story. And what she did is something that I think women do all the time, and that is that she bought into and took at face value the man that he presented himself to be, and did not look at his past behavior, did not question how his past choices might become his future choices with her. She accepted him entirely at face value. And there is something very loving about doing that, because I think we all as human beings want to be loved for who we are striving to be. We all make mistakes. We all have things in our past that we regret, wish we hadn't done. But I think that in the case of someone who had a pattern of behavior like Jesse's, a pattern that was clearly a, I'll talk about it more in a minute, but that sexual addiction pattern, to not look at his past behavior and question it, to not say, you know what, if this was a pattern of his, not just mistakes you make when you're in college or mistakes you make in your early 20s, and then you grow past it and you become a much more responsible and mature adult later, but rather these were things that carried forward and well into his adult life, into his 30s, his 40s, and I don't know how old he is now. I believe he's in his 40s now, late 40s. So these patterns of behavior carried well into his adulthood, and that was something that she could have questioned and should have questioned. Now, I'm not criticizing Sandra at all. It may sound like I am, but to the contrary, what I am doing is pointing out the mistake that I think she made so that we can all learn from it. And I think that what that is about is to take a person, a man, or if you're the guy, if you're a guy listening right now, to take a woman, but to take a person on face value based solely on how that person is behaving with you, and to completely discount the person's past repetitive behavior, not something they did 25 years ago that they regret, but something that is in the recent past that is a pattern in the person's life, is a mistake. Because the best way that you can predict a person's future behavior is to look at that person's past repetitive behavior, unless there has been some kind of extremely strong intervention. And in the case of Jesse James, of course, there was never any intervention. Now he says he is getting intervention. Now he says he's going to change his behavior, but we'll see about that. What we do have to do is learn from that situation. What we must learn is that it does not work to only take a person at face value when they have repeated behavior from the past that is damaging, that is potentially very damaging to the person that he is dating now. So, because as women, you know, we are extremely vulnerable to the kind of devastation that Sandra is now going through. And we just can't afford to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to the realities in front of us about how a man has behaved in the past. We really can't afford to do that. We have to look at these situations as women and call them what they are. And we have to do that not 6 months down the road, a year down the road, or in the case of Sandra, years down the road, but we have to do it very quickly, very early in the dating process, because here's what happens. And I am imagining this is what happened with Sandra, is that she met Jesse James. Reason she met him is because she wanted to take her nephew to see Monster Garage behind the scenes, and of course she had connections in Hollywood, so she was able to do that and get on the set and take her nephew. So that's what she did as a treat to him, and that's how she met Jesse James. And of course I'm sure he thought he had died and gone to heaven when this gorgeous woman walked in, and he would have never gotten the chance to meet her in person otherwise, I don't imagine, but he did. And so what happens in a situation like that is then he goes on best behavior, which is what any normal person would do. And so what she saw was this incredibly attentive man who was no doubt treated her like a princess, as he should, and treated her with every bit of respect and care and nurturing and, you know, I'm sure that he courted her. I just can't imagine that she would have given him the time of day if he hadn't. So I'm sure that he did. And so what happens, I think, to us as women that keeps us from looking at these situations more objectively is that we get very caught up in the courtship behavior of a man. And then before you know it, there's this attachment that is forming. We start to fall in love. And then the moment we start falling in love, we are no longer objective. We're no longer looking to see, what do I need to see about this person just in case this isn't going to be good for me? What do I need to see so that I can take good care of myself and protect myself? We no longer look that way. Because attachment, falling in love, those things start happening, and we are no longer objective. So this is why we have to learn from situations like Sandra's. The only reason we're able to learn so much about hers is because she is a person in the public eye. And so because of that, her story is right out there in the open. And oh, good heavens, I can't even imagine what it would be like to be living a life like that where you're so subject to scrutiny and people follow you around and take your picture all day long and dig up every fact about all these really, how can I say it, these incredibly misguided, amoral women who were involved with her husband. So all of that is out in the open, but what we have to learn from it is that we cannot afford as women to be so non-objective. What we have to do is pay attention in those first few dates and find out what we really need to find out. Do your due diligence, ladies. Ask the difficult questions. If he says to you, my ex-wife is serving jail time right now, and we had a child together, and I'm trying to get custody, and she's a former porn star, or former or current or whatever, which that was the case with Jesse James' former wife before Sandra. If he says that to you, I think that warrants quite a few questions. And one question I would have asked in her shoes is, what attracted you to that woman? What attracted you to her? So, because there's clearly something wrong with a man's chooser if he is attracted to that, and you need to know what that is because that may still be there. That's just the beginning of it. But we need to learn how to do our due diligence early in the relationship cycle to ask the difficult questions that people don't like to ask on dates, because now all of a sudden it's not so romantic if I'm asking those difficult questions, but they are very, very necessary for your well-being. Very important to do that. Now, getting back to Jesse James a little bit, because one of the questions that people ask me is, so what is it? What is this whole thing about sexual addiction? Is that real, or is that just code for, you know, he's just a bad guy with bad morals? So here's the difference. Of course, if you are strictly looking at the behavior, he cheated on his wife, you have to agree that it's a really faulty moral yardstick that enables a person to cheat on his spouse. And lots of people do it. But that is obviously a disrupted moral compass, a moral compass that has gone off the rails that people are not adhering to. That's a problem in itself. And yes, he has that problem. But addiction takes it to a whole nother level. Now, one of the ways that you can assess it as addiction is to look at these two things. All right, one thing is, what was the level of potential loss by indulging in the addiction? How much does the person stand to lose by indulging in the addiction? And then the second question is, what was the likelihood of getting caught? So in Jesse's case, it is clear. He stood to lose a lot. Here he was, married to this Hollywood star, this gorgeous woman who is famous, who is not only beautiful and famous and a Hollywood star, but also someone who, as far as we can tell, looking from the outside in, that is a very loving person. and a wonderful stepmom to his children. I mean, he had the ultimate dream family life with Sandra Bullock. Here was a woman who was willing to devote herself to his children from his previous his previous marriages that in first marriage sound like he was married to a more normal woman, but not so the second wife. But he had all these children from these previous marriages who needed a lot of attention. They've been through so much chaos in their little lives, none of which they chose. They were born into it and have had to suffer from it. And here she was willing to take them on as her stepchildren and love them just as much as if they were her natural children. So he had the ultimate dream life with Sandra Bullock. A lot to lose. But here's the other thing. Part two, what was the likelihood of getting caught? Well, you know, it just doesn't take a genius to figure out that cheating on Sandra Bullock means you're going to get caught. Because sooner or later, somebody else that you've messed around with is going to see this as a way for them to elevate themselves. Because she being so famous makes her a huge target for those who can profit by telling their stories. And so the odds of his getting caught, of his being exposed, were extremely high. So this is more than ordinary cheating, because what we see here is a person who was unable to control his compulsions, even though he stood to lose so much, and even though it was almost inevitable that he would be caught. Now that is addiction. Yes, it's immoral, and yes, it is addiction. It is when you have a compulsion that is so strong, it overrides every rational part of your being, and every rational part of his being had to have been screaming at him, "What are you doing? Look at what you are risking." And yet he still couldn't control himself. So it's a good thing that he checked himself into rehab. I don't know if 30 days of treatment is going to really help him. I don't know if that's going to get the job done. If he's not in treatment every day right now, outpatient, and if he isn't in that kind of treatment every day for probably years to come, he will not be able to kick it. Because obviously he's had this issue for a long, long time. He's in his 40s, and he's got this issue, and it's caused him now to lose, without a doubt, the most wonderful woman he could ever hope to be married to. So the reality is it's pretty hardwired into his behavior for him to act out this way. So I hope for his sake and for the sake of his children that he will continue his treatment. But what is the prognosis for him actually being married to Sandra in a healthy way and giving her the kind of life that she wants to have with a husband? Not very good. It's not very good. I can't say it will never, ever work out. Who knows? I certainly don't have a crystal ball. But I would say that the odds of him turning that around and turning it around successfully enough to win back this woman, I doubt it. So, but getting back to Sandra, I just want to say what a class act she is. I mean, I just so admire this lady who has been through so much. Because even though she has every right to be absolutely enraged by what her husband did and to say whatever she might about him, and no one would blame her if she just ripped him to shreds in the media. No one would blame her. And yet, she has chosen the high road. She speaks of him in very respectful terms, albeit distant but respectful. And she seems to be recognizing that they will be co-parents for the rest of their lives, and therefore they have to present a united and healthy front as parents for their children. So for their sake, for the sake of the children, She is behaving in an honorable way, in a rational way. For their sake, she is moving forward with her life as a single mom and as the stepmom that she has been to them for the past several years. And I just want to say, what a class act. Way to go, Sandra. I mean, what a wonderful woman. What a great role model. I think she's learned the big lesson that women really need to understand, that no matter what a man does to you, to hurt you, to devastate your life, no matter what that is, but when you lash out and you become vindictive and revengeful toward him, you lose your power. That's right. We lose our power as women when we act out in rage. It only ends up reflecting badly on us. But if we can take the high ground, let him boil around in what he did and in who he is, that will be enough, I promise you. And I always say that a woman's best revenge, the absolute best way, if you want to call it revenge, I don't even know if it's revenge, but the best way to react to being treated poorly by a man is to live a great life going forward, to find your way back to peace of mind and heart and happiness and joy and loving someone else, loving and being loved by someone wonderful down the road, living a terrifically wonderful life. That is the best way to react to being treated badly. So I'm very happy for Sandra that she's learned that lesson and she's doing it. So we're going to take a little break right now, but stick around. We'll be back with more love strategies in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Nina Atwood. Does this sound familiar to you? You start a new relationship full of hope that maybe this time he's the one. But weeks, months, or even years later, you realize that although the name and face have changed, the story is the same. He's all wrong for you, and now you have to continue suffering or start all over. Well, you don't have to keep repeating the same old patterns. If you want to raise your relationship game and put yourself on a whole new course for a happy, healthy, lasting love, get Temptations of the Single Girl, the 10 Dating Traps You Must Avoid. This is a self-help book like no other. It's a parable, an easy, fast story you can read in 2 to 3 hours. The fact that it's a story and not just dry, boring data means you'll retain the lessons learned far longer. And the more you retain, the greater the changes you'll be able to make in your life. That's why I wrote it this way, to make it easy for you to get what you need to permanently alter your love life for the better. You can get the book by clicking on the book cover right from the show page, or you can go to singlescoach.com, find the tab for books and tapes, then click on Singles Coach A Store. Temptations of the Single Girl is available through Amazon.com and as a Kindle book. And now back to more love strategies.
Okay, we're back to love strategies. And so now we're going to talk about internet dating, as I promised at the beginning of the show. And also I have a surprise for you. When you finish this show, go to my website, www.singlescoach.com, singlescoach.com. You can also find that URL on my show page and sign up for my newsletter. You'll see a little newsletter sign up box right there on the show, on the opening page of the website. And when you do, you will receive a free copy of my ebook, Internet Dating for the Savvy Single. Now, this is a little book that I wrote just for people who sign up to become members of the Singles Coach community. And it contains all the tips that I've talked about in this show and the preceding show, plus a whole lot more. So be sure and go after the show to singlescoach.com, sign up for the newsletter, and get a free copy of Internet Dating for the Savvy Single. So in the last show, what we talked about internet dating was that before you begin the process of actually going online and dating people, it's really important that you look to see if you have the right attitude, the right frame of mind, and the right level of emotional readiness. So I covered a lot of that. That's in the last show again. And so we covered all the way through. Probably the last thing that I talked about was financial issues. And so I'll start with that little recap, and that is that no one appreciates dating someone who's not capable of pulling their own weight financially, and that goes for both men and women. One of the hallmarks of adult maturity is being able to gain and keep employment, live below your means, and plan for the future financially. And if you haven't already done so, I would recommend that you go and help yourself get on track financially through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, and you can find that at www.daveramsey.com. Okay, so the next thing, the next big place to check it off the list before you actually dive into internet dating is to look and see if you are on the rebound. Now, you know, no one who is rebounding ever really thinks that they are. You know, most people think when they look back later, way down the road, they think, I think I see why that relationship didn't work because I was actually on the rebound, or the person I was with was on the rebound. So it's very difficult to identify a rebound relationship as it is happening. Yet, lots of people date while rebounding. So, and I know it feels good to get the validation that you have still got it. You know, you are still hot. People still want you and all that. And, you know, whatever it is that your ex did to you that's caused you to lose your confidence and wonder if you still have it. So going out and dating real quickly, right after whatever that person did, is a way to revalidate yourself. And I understand that. I know that feels, here's an example of something that feels good in the moment but isn't good for you or anyone else. Because no one really benefits from that. You know, that rebounding in order to validate yourself doesn't really help you, and it really doesn't help anybody else. So here's the thing, you know, spare everyone else. Wait until you are really and truly over your ex before you go out there. So you might be thinking, okay, I think I'm over my ex, but maybe I'm not so sure. Well, here are some of the signposts that tell you it may be too soon. One of those is that you still have a secret longing to get back together with your ex, and you're hoping that he will realize what a fool he was to let you go. So if you're having those kinds of thoughts, that secret fantasy that he's going to realize he was an idiot to let you go and then he's going to want to get back together with you, that's one of the signposts that's telling you it may be too soon. And here's another one. Deep down, if you're really, really honest, you know that you are using online dating to fish around for acknowledgement that you are still hot in other people's eyes. That's really what you're looking for. If you really tell yourself the truth, that's one of the signs that tells you it's probably too soon for you to date. And here's another one. Deep down, you are longing for validation, and you have this fantasy. You imagine your ex finding out how much you are still in demand. You imagine your ex perhaps stumbling across your online profile and then realizing that you're getting all these dates. I don't know how they would figure it out just from finding your profile, but let's say that doesn't matter because that's your fantasy anyway. So you're imagining that your ex somehow finds out, maybe finds out from one of your mutual friends, that you are still in demand. You're getting lots of dates off the internet. That's a sign. It's too soon. And here's another one. You haven't really even grieved yet. You know, it doesn't feel yet like it's a real breakup. It's more like an interruption. I've just sort of had an interruption, but I'm not really grieving. Well, that, you know, that's a sign that it's too soon. If you're not, because grief is a sign that you recognize a loss. Grief tells you, grief is the expression of the fact that you realize you've really lost that person, that that person is gone, and that person is probably not coming back. All right, that's another sign. Here's another one. You have fantasies of a reunion. If you're the woman, in your fantasies, you imagine him calling you up, begging you for a date, showing up on the date with the gorgeous diamond ring and the proposal and the apologies and all of that. So that fantasy of a reunion with the proposal and the ring, that's telling you something. That's telling you that you have not really moved on. This relationship's not really over for you, not in your mind. All right, if you're a guy, sometimes for men, the signposts are a little different than they are for women, and here's one I've seen men do. You feel nothing about losing her, nothing. You don't miss her. You don't think about her. You don't fantasize about her. You're not longing for a reunion. You are out there dating like a fiend. You are out there burning up the internet, asking other women out and going out on multiple dates. You're emotionally numb. You haven't faced the reality that she was very significant in your life. Now, when I've seen men do this, what often happens is that one day there is this horrific shock. You're out there numb, not feeling anything, not missing her, telling yourself over and over again that she meant nothing to you. And then one night you're out with your buddies and you look across the room and there she is sitting with another guy who's holding her hand. And all of a sudden, bam, it hits you like a ton of bricks that you do miss her, that you have screwed up, that you have lost a wonderful woman and you don't know if you'll ever get her back. That's usually how it happens for guys. They go numb, and then they wake up later like a sledgehammer hits them in the head. So now, and for men and women, here's another sign that says maybe you're rebounding. You're not really ready to date, and that is you're looking for someone who is the complete opposite of the last person that you were in love with, the complete opposite. So in a way, you're still recreating that person, because you are trying so hard to find someone who is the opposite of that person or the opposite of that person's characteristics or the opposite of how that person looked or whatever it is. It's sort of like saying, well, I don't want a pink elephant. Well, you're still thinking about the pink elephant in order to not get the pink elephant. I mean, you're still thinking about that. So all of those things are telling you that you may be on the rebound and you're not quite ready for dating, not ready for prime time, not yet. So I've got more to cover with you about being prepared for dating before you get out there and get started. But before I do that, I want to take this question that just came in from Stephen. And Stephen writes in and says, Dear Nina, I am a fairly healthy 52-year-old single male. I've only been married once in my life. I do date, but only on a sparing basis, not very much, in other words. He says, I believe that we attract people from our personal internal belief systems. A couple of weeks ago, I sat down and took a hard look at the type of women I am attracting into my life. So first of all, Stephen, that's a healthy step. Okay, he says, I'll go on. He says, everyone that I have ever dated on some level was unavailable. The one thing that all these women had was me. In other words, he was the common denominator. My spiritual path teaches me that if I keep attracting the same thing over and over, I need to look very deeply within to find out why. The reason why I've been attracting this type of woman is I was taught that significant relationships are unavailable. Talk about a cosmic 2x4 slamming you on the head. This was it. Now I am in a quandary. My question is, since I was not taught this growing up, what does being available smell, taste, and feel like? I welcome any feedback that you might have to offer. Thank you. All right, so Stephen, you've done a very smart thing, because what you've done is you've recognized that who you are attracting is an inside job. I am the common denominator in all my relationships. I want to attract something different, I have got to change my own little personal inner radar, my little compass that is drawing people to me and telling me who it is that I want to be with or not. So, Stephen, you've done that, and you've identified that you never really had a role model or a template for an emotionally available relationship. So that's the first issue that you've got to tackle, is that you don't know what it is. So I thought about this for you, and so just a few things, and it's, you know, trying to explain rationally what emotionally available means or looks like is a bit challenging, because a lot of it is behavioral, but a lot of it is something that is happening on a very deep kind of a gut level that you know or that you don't know, that is either there or it is not. And the part of you that is aware of deep down truths about relationships needs to be able to pick this up. But here are some things that I think are indicators of emotional availability. One is self-awareness, because without self-awareness, you can't really express who you are. And if you can't express who you are to the people that you date, then they don't know who it is that they are dating. This makes you emotionally unavailable. So that's something that you want to be, because if you are self-aware, then you will begin to attract people who are also self-aware. Now, you'll notice that as I go down this list of what emotional availability looks like, every single thing on this list is what it is that you have to work on becoming. Because as you work on becoming these things, Stephen, then you will attract these things. Like attracts like. Not only were you not taught what emotional availability is, from example, I'm guessing in your family of origin, but also you have not developed or cultivated emotional availability in yourself. And so you are attracting those people because that is you also. All right, so here they are again, self-awareness. This is what you want to cultivate in yourself so that you will then attract it. And the next thing is self-expression. Self-expression is being able to say what you think and feel without having a hidden agenda. In other words, if you're having to weigh what you say, because if you can say it a certain way rather than the way you really think or feel it, then maybe you'll get a certain result out of people. That's called having a hidden agenda. That's manipulation. That's not self-expression. Self-expression is saying it the way you really think it and the way that you really feel it. And I'm not calling it self-expression if you become angry with someone and you lash out in a rage and you say exactly what you're thinking and it's something really nasty. That's not what I'm talking about. That is being reactive. I am talking about self-expression, which is not having a hidden agenda, being able to say what you think and feel. It's being thoughtful. There's thoughtfulness in it, but it is still true. It is speaking your truth. So that is what you need to cultivate in yourself, Stephen, if you want to attract it. All right, so another thing that tells you that you are emotionally available and others that they are, and that is you do what you say you will do. So your word is your bond. People know they can count on you. If you say you're going to be there at 7, you're there at 7. Or you're calling at 5 till 7 to say, I am on my way, but I will be there by 7:04 or 7:06. But you don't leave people waiting and wondering where you are. If you say that you're going to get something done, then you get something done. You don't leave people wondering if you're going to get it done or not. They know they can count on you. Your word is your bond. All right, here's another signpost for emotional availability, and it's responsiveness. You are responsive. When someone has an issue with you, you listen and you respond without being overly defensive. You're responsive when a situation occurs in your environment, something is not quite right, or somebody close to you is upset, somebody close to you is going through something, you're responsive. You reach out. You make connections. You don't just sit back and act as if nothing is happening. You're responsive. So here's another signpost for emotional availability. When you love, you know it. You don't wonder whether or not you love someone. Your internal compass is fully functioning. It's alive and well. You know when you love. It's just there. It's patently obvious to you. Also, when you love, you are exclusive and you are committed. You don't try to love multiple people sexually or romantically at the same time. When you love, it's exclusive. It's committed. You focus all your energy on that one person. And you follow that relationship as far as it can possibly go with the intention that it is going somewhere, with the intention that it is a committed relationship. Also, you're loyal. You're not prone to exiting just because you don't get everything you want in a relationship all the time. You know, that belief that a relationship should give you everything that you want all the time is a childish belief. In an adult relationship, it's a give and a take. It is, and it's mostly about giving in an adult relationship. It's giving and receiving, I should really say, not taking, but giving and receiving. But there's loyalty. When you're emotionally available, you tend to be loyal to the people that you love. You don't just jump around, hopping in and out of relationships just because they don't suit you in that particular day. And that means, of course, that you are stable. You are the same person day to day. Who you are today is the same person that you are tomorrow. There's not this personality change. There's not hot and cold, like flipping a switch, that I'm really warm and all heated up about you today, but then tomorrow I look at you as if you're a stranger. Emotional availability means that you are self-aware, self-expressed, you do what you say you will do, you're responsive. When you love, you know it. You are exclusive and committed, you're loyal, and you are stable. That's it in a nutshell. And when you're emotionally available yourself, when that is what you bring to a relationship, you will quite naturally attract others who bring those same characteristics to a relationship, Stephen. And I'm not talking to just Stephen, of course. I'm talking to everyone who is listening. And when you bring those characteristics to a relationship, you will attract someone like yourself because like attracts like. And here's the beauty of it. When you are emotionally available and you attract someone who is not emotionally available, it shows up as a disconnect. It shows up as, this doesn't feel right. This is not what I was looking for. It won't feel right to be with someone who is not emotionally available when you are emotionally available. And so what will happen as you develop these things within yourself is that you will have better and better relationships or attract people who are much more capable of having the kind of relationship you want. Very good question. I'm glad you sent that question in, Stephen. And I think that will help a lot of people who are listening. All right, we're going to take another little break. I'll be right back with more love strategies. Back with more love strategies. Back again. I'm going to do a little bit more on internet dating before we wrap up the show. So here's another thing that tells you you're not yet ready to date, online or otherwise, and that is unresolved character and addiction issues. So character issues that go unresolved, what that means, or let me give you some examples of that, rather, and those are things like this. narcissism, instability, lack of integrity. Addiction issues include substance abuse, alcohol abuse, and sexual addiction. If any of that sounds like you, please spare the rest of humanity by not dating and by getting professional help to resolve it before you do. So what is narcissism? That means it's all about you and your needs, and you have a lack of empathy for others. What is instability? You can't hold a job. You always have to have chaos and drama going on in your life. Lack of integrity. You do whatever you feel like to get what you want. Lying, cheating, stealing, whatever. And, of course, you know what addiction issues are, but any kind of compulsion or obsession that you cannot control that causes damage in your life, you need to get help. So the bottom line is, any of those issues are present in your life and you're not already seeking help, I would suggest you do get help. The internet dating scene is not there to solve any of your life issues. The best you'll get out of it is reinforcement that you need treatment. The worst is that you will hurt others and yourself along the way, so don't do it. All right, so the next thing that I want you to really look at for internet dating, and you're going to get all of this in my ebook, Internet Dating for the Savvy Single, and the way you're going to get that is to go to singlescoach.com, and you're going to click on in the little box that says sign up for the newsletter, and you'll sign up, and then you will get your copy of Internet Dating for the Savvy Single. So to be really successful at internet dating or any kind of dating, you need an attitude of success. What does that mean? Well, first of all, understand the real goal. Not the superficial goal, not the, oh, I just want to go out with some hot people. No, I'm talking about the deep down goal. And so I really can't help you, and this book won't help you, and this radio show won't help you if your deep down goal is just hooking up and sexual conquest. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time here on Love Strategies, and you'll be wasting your time to download my ebook, Internet Dating for the Savvy Single. But if your deep down goal is to meet a soulmate and to be married in a healthy relationship, then this is for you. Now, you may be thinking, well, I know I want a soulmate. I want a good relationship. Marriage, I don't know. That just sounds like such a huge commitment. I don't know if I can handle that. Well, if you know you want to be in a committed relationship, but the marriage part is scaring you a little bit, that's okay. Because I think setting a goal for the purpose of finding someone for a lifelong relationship, however you define that, will set you up for success. Having a well-defined vision of your ideal relationship also supports your future success. And you will probably, when you meet that person that you want to spend your life with, if you have some sort of shyness about marriage, then hopefully you will tackle that in the context of that relationship and move past it. You will have to deal with it at some point. But if you're wondering why it is so important to have a well-defined vision of your ideal relationship, then I really want you to go again to singlescoach.com and pick up my two books, which you can buy through the website at my online bookstore, Be Your Own Dating Service, and that book is ideal for both men and women, and then Temptations of the Single Girl, which is ideal for women. But the point is, create a vision, create an intention, and stick with it, because an attitude of success means that you are determined to move towards your goal of a great relationship and you're not going to give up. And you will need that attitude because you will have lots of disappointments along the way, lots of them. So make up your mind now that it is normal to have lots of bad dates and disappointing experiences while dating online or in any other way. And tell yourself now and believe it. You have to create this attitude of success again that it's worth it. So if I could show you how your face will look on your wedding day to your soulmate, would you think that is worth the trouble that you are going through today? You know, most people would say, yes, it is. Well, I want you to keep that in mind. In fact, if you have to pull this recording out and listen to it again, pull out this part of the book, it's in the ebook too, and reread it whenever you experience disappointment, and remind yourself, and this is part of your vision statement creation also, how it is that you are going to look on your wedding day, how happy you are going to be. You have to keep that in mind in front of you as this powerful vision. That's what you're reaching for every time you have disappointment. So, and if you're a person listening to this, and if you know what I mean by the law of attraction, using the law of attraction in your search for a soulmate, if that has meaning for you because you read the book The Secret, then I would encourage you to use the law of attraction, because it's a lot easier to raise your attraction quotient than it is to work hard to try to talk other people into giving you a chance, who are not necessarily open to you nor right for you. If you want to learn more about how to become irresistibly attractive to the right people, then get my audio CD set, which is How to Attract a Soulmate Relationship. You can also get that through singlescoach.com. Now, another thing about your attitude is to be willing to make an investment of your money and your time. Yeah, you know, you may be one of those lucky people that joins a dating service, puts up your profile, and you get tons of email, and you're dating the person you're going to marry in 3 weeks or less. But great, that would be great, but it usually doesn't work that fast. Most people need a year, and some people need even longer. So if you join for a full year of membership, it will cost less, and don't worry about the fact that you may not use that entire year. This is not a time of life when you need to be cheap. You just need to go into it with an attitude of success and be willing to invest the money and the time to do it. And that time part is crucial. And if you're thinking you don't have time to go through all those profiles and search and do all, well, guess what? You don't have time to date either. Because the same amount of time you're going to put into finding people online is the same amount of time you'll eventually be spending going out with someone and spending time in a relationship. And when you meet someone you want to be with, you have to adjust your life to make room for them. So be willing to make that investment. And again, the rest of this story that I've started here about online dating, you can find by going to my website, singlescoach.com, and signing up for the newsletter. You'll get then a link to enable you to download this absolutely free ebook. I hope you'll take advantage of that. Next week is Mother's Day, and we're going to have a very special show. We're going to be focusing on how mothers can support daughters in making smart choices about men. So if you're a mother, listen in. If you're a mother who's got daughters who are of dating age, listen in, or they're getting close to dating age, listen in, because you'll want to hear this. And if you're a daughter, get your mom to listen with you, because this is going to be a very powerful show about how women can help their daughters make better choices of men. I can't think of anything more important to do for your life if you're a woman. All right, I look forward to hearing from you next week. We'll be back next week for more Love Strategies.
Thank you for joining us at Love Strategies. Be sure and visit the premier website for single men and women who want to date smart, singlescoach.com. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll get notifications for this show as well as other free dating tips. If you want a coach to support you in your growth and recovery, go to Singles Coaching on the website and choose personal coaching. That's it for today, and be sure and tune back in for more love strategies so you can date smart and find the love of your life.